Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Speak to you. I just felt like the Holy Spirit highlighted that someone or some people or all of us in this room don't feel worthy of His love and affection. And even though we would say that we're not like that, we're still always trying to prove that we're worthy of what He's freely given us. If we're honest with ourselves, we want to try to be good enough to walk out the things that we think He's put in our heart instead of relying on His strength and goodness. So I just want to invite you, if that's you, if you struggle with whether it's things you've done in your past or things that you've done recently or your shortcomings or your failures or your temper, or your feelings of inadequacy, or your shyness, or you're easily intimidated. I just want to invite you to lay that at the feet of the Father, because He's not willing to let those things hold you back. He's not saying you need to grow and to change. He's saying He'll work with you right where you are. He'll launch you into your future. He'll move in your life the way you long to see Him move. You just have to believe that He will. Because He loves you, 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 He loves you for all your quirkiness, for all your inadequacy. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you for all your failures.
wash over every single person in this place right now.
Thing we want to do before we move on from this time. We just want to come together and pray for those among us that have sickness in their body or pain. We just declare health and healing to all your flesh right now in the name of Jesus. We declare that everything would become normal, that levels would balance out, that thought processes sound minds right now in Jesus' name. That no plague would come into our dwelling. Open lungs and open hearts and open minds right now in Jesus' name. And strong legs. Pain free right now in Jesus' name. Pain free right now in Jesus' name. You're pain free right now in Jesus' name. You have a full range of motion in the name of Jesus. You have new joints, new tendons, new ligaments, new organs, clean lungs right now in Jesus' name.
I also just feel like the Lord saying, for some of us, we're frustrated that we don't feel that draw, that we don't feel that hunger, and that we feel numb and our emotions are numb because we've had to block them off for so many reasons and times and trauma. And I just feel like the Lord, He's such a good Father, that He's going to increase that draw in you, and you're just going to get drawn to Him. And it's not going to be from you striving or working for it, but the Lord is just going to increase that drawing in you, and you're going to get drawn to Him, whether it's in the Word, whether it's when you're in worship, whether it's to be drawn to pray for someone. That is going to increase in you that feeling of just being drawn, and it's going to be a natural process, and the Spirit's just going to guide you. And I just pray that for every single one of us, Lord, that you would just wake up our sleeping hearts, Lord God, that we felt like we had to shut down, Lord God, to protect right now, Lord, that we would just feel safe. That we would feel safe in our hearts to open them up to you, Lord God. I just break off any fear right now to be broken off in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I speak your perfect love, Lord, to just manifest physically, emotionally, Lord God, spiritually. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just filter out all of the confusion. That your spirit would just be easy, your yoke is easy. Lord, that you would just organize our heart to yours. Just align our heart to your rhythm, Lord God. That it wouldn't be because we felt like we had to, Lord, but it would just be a drive, it would be a want, it would be a natural desire. Lord, that we would just move in the direction of our hearts, Lord God.
Going to sing one thing over you guys, and I just want you to receive the invitation of your Heavenly Father. Come, come, my child, sit for a while, and I will give you rest. Come, come, my child, rest for a while. Lay your head on your daddy's chest. So, Father, we thank you that you're drawing us in. We pray your Spirit would remind us. We pray that you would visit us in our dreams, that you would speak to us as we read your Word. That you would show us visions, that you would remind us of prophecy and put prophetic words for others in our mouths that we would declare. what you want to do right here, right now, in this place, in these families, in this city, in this nation. So we thank you, Father. Just take a moment and thank the Father. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
So one thing that I'm excited to tell you guys, last Sunday of this month, which is only 2 weeks away right now, the last Sunday of this month, the 30th, we have some guests coming. And those of you that were here a little while ago, remember, we all read this book called The Handprint of God. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of us did. We threw it out there, and it's the history of the Hopewell Network. And in this story, you're going to find a story of a revival that led to explosive church growth. They saw healings. They saw a bar turn into like a Bible study. The bar shut down, and it was full of people coming to know the Lord in this bar. And so the people that owned the bar, their names are John and Sandy Shantz, are going to be here to tell us the stories firsthand. So that's going to be a lot of fun that Sunday. And what's awesome, I will let them tell you their story, but they were like at the lowest low point, and God broke in. So that should be super encouraging to all of us.
And what was really cool too is they weren't like asking for God's help. They weren't crying out, like the Lord sent someone to them, which I thought was so cool. But I won't share more of that, but it's a really cool story.
So, yeah. You could be that person, or you could be the person that came. One person came, and it led to all this.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't need to show you this. It's not interesting. we're in the middle of James to Jude in January. That's the Bible reading challenge. It's a lot of easy reading. I'm really enjoying it. If you follow us on Facebook or Instagram, which you should, if you are on those things, if you're not, I totally understand. If you're on those things and you're following us, it's going to keep posting reminders about this. Each of those reminders is going to give you an overview of one of these books, who it was written to, why it was written, some highlights of it. So as you're reading, you'll be able to see that information. It's a self-paced study. Read as much or as little as you want to each day. We're in the middle of a coat drive. I know we all need our coats right now, and so do people that don't have coats. So if go home, check in your closets. We're also collecting gloves and hats, not ones you find on the ground, but maybe ones that, like, my family has a bad habit of leaving them in my car for long periods of time. So maybe those gloves and hats we can donate.
I need those. Are you talking about mine?
Then take them out of my car.
No, I need them.
Okay. So the last thing I want
to...
So quick review. We never get to do this stuff together. Did you guys know that? So quick review. Don't miss the last Sunday of this month. You should come next Sunday too, but don't miss the last Sunday this month. It's going to be awesome with John and Sandy. Be reading Jude to James in January. Find coats. Bring them here. We bless Blaine in April. The last thing I wanted to let you guys know, Jerry Cooper, she's here a lot. She's kind of let us know that in this season she's going to be staying home, having church with her husband. So we just want to bless her. Her address is over there on a little square of paper. So postcard, card. Hi, Jerry.
Letter.
Yeah, letter. If you're gifted in that area, letter, or chocolate. I'm sure she wouldn't complain. So... Actually, I don't know that. If someone knows what her preferred candy is, let us know. What's that? Her husband likes chocolate? That's good enough for me. I like him a lot. All right, so if you brought something to give, go ahead and hold it in your hands. We just want to pray over it. Again, we don't pass the plate. The offering basket's in the back. We're so grateful for everyone that sows regularly here. We're able to do so much with what's given and... just continue on as we launch out in the community. So, Father, right now, we just pray over these offerings as we receive them. We ask that you would multiply them, that you would give us wisdom how to use them. And, Lord, we pray that you would meet the needs of those that are sacrificially giving and those that are giving out of their abundance. Lord, that you would just meet their needs, that you would multiply what they have as you multiply what they give. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's invite Dave up.
Well, good morning. I'm glad everybody was able to come out this morning. Last week, Matt introduced an idea as we move forward that over the next weeks and months, we're going to focus on three C's. And that's communion, so that's our individual relationship with God. Community, that's our relationship with each other. And commission, that's what God has called us to do for Him. And it's vital that first and foremost, before we can properly experience community, and before we can walk out in our commission, we have to have the right communion with God. In Matthew 22, 37 to 40, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang all the whole law and the prophets." So, you know, God's a God of order. So to do it right, we have to do it in the order that it's given. We have to do the first thing before we can even do the second thing, and that before we can do what we do for others. Before we can love others, first and foremost, we have to love God with our whole heart, soul, and mind. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because He first loved us." And so our ability to love and our capacity to love is it's necessary that we've accepted God's love toward us. Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrates His own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So God's love is demonstrated in the cross. And in order for us to truly love God, we need to accept that He loved us. We need to accept all that He did for us on the cross. Like Matt shared during worship, you know, sometimes we don't really believe that we're worthy of His love, that we're worthy in our own situation to have that healing. We've seen it for others, we believe it for others, but something holds us back. To truly have communion with God, we've got to accept that Jesus died on the cross, even if it would have just been one. The cross provides the entire basis for our communion with God. And the basis of community is that, so then we love others as we love ourselves. And that means that we love others based on the fact that God first loved us, but He also first loved them enough to die on the cross for them. Jesus talked a lot about loving others. He talked about loving neighbors. He talked about loving even our enemies. But He also specifically talked several times about loving those who are in the faith. In John 13, 34 and 35, He says, "I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all people will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another." That speaks to how important community really is, how important our relationship with each other is. Because I'm convinced that one of the greatest hindrances to the witness and the testimony of the church is that the church today, when the world looks at it, they see the division that's in the church and that's among the church. And because they don't see the love that the church has within itself for one another, they don't know who the disciples of Jesus even are. We need to prove that we're His disciples. And in terms of community, 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says that we are to encourage one another and to build one another up. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, and for training in righteousness." Those are some of the things we do as community. And I want to challenge and encourage us and build us up this morning with a portion of scripture that's in Matthew 5:27-48. First, though, in Matthew 7:1-2, Jesus says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." So as we look at the text in Matthew 5, Jesus tells us of a higher standard, the standard of God's measure that we're held to if we judge others. He says, "You've heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone that looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery in her heart." That's just one of the examples that he gives of how it's easy to look at and see the things that some people might have done and to judge that. But God's standard is higher than that, because he judges hearts. And we shouldn't judge the one who's fallen into temptation when we ourselves might have already done it in our own hearts. We all need to remember what James 1:14-15 says. You've probably read that if you're reading along this month. James 1:14-15, he says, "Each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. And then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's run its course, brings forth death." We shouldn't judge the weakness in others, because we all have our own weaknesses and our own temptations. Just because something isn't a temptation to me doesn't make it any less difficult for the person who has that temptation. Rather than judging, Galatians 6:1 says, "If a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual," that's supposed to be us, right? "You who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you're not tempted as well." We need to resist the temptation to judge others so that we don't give birth to the sin of judgment in our own hearts. Because by our standard of measure, it'll be measured to us. So if our standard is judgment, then we'll be judged. And if our standard is restoration, then we too will be restored. Now here's the real challenging part of this portion of Scripture. Jesus says, "You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may prove yourself to be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors, do they not do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Even the Gentiles do the same." Here it is. "Therefore, you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's the true standard that God calls us to. That's God's standard, perfection. It's not that we are just to love our enemies, not that we pray for those who persecute it, but we're called to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And of course, we would say we can't be perfect. That's not within us. Because our flesh is weak, and certainly our flesh is weak. But the key, then, is what Jesus told his disciples in the garden when he prayed for hours, and they couldn't stay awake. In Matthew 26:41, he said, "Keep watching and praying so that you do not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So we need to yield to the strength of our spirit rather than to the weakness of our flesh. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." If we want to know the perfection of the Heavenly Father, if we want to experience the perfection of the Heavenly Father, we need to focus on Him. We need to keep our eyes fixed in the heavenly places. Romans 8:28-30 says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified." Now look at this. This is my own translation. God causes all things to work together for good to those who have communion with Him. To those who are commissioned according to His purposes. We become perfected in the image of Christ. You know, God doesn't cause all the things that happen in the world. He's given each of us a free will, and that means He's giving everybody else a free will as well. And so our choices, and also the choices of other people, affect the things that happen to us and in the world. But God will cause even the difficult and hard things that happen in our lives to work for our good. If we will continue to focus on Him and delight in Him, even in the midst of those difficulties and the trials, we'll become conformed to the perfect image of Christ. We'll be restored to what God intended for us from the very beginning. When in the garden, He created Adam and Eve. In Genesis 1:26, He says, "Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the livestock, over all the earth and every crawling thing that crawls on the earth." We were created in the perfect image of God and Christ. And that's what He wants to restore us to. We'll be justified by Him, glorified in Him, and perfected like Him. And as we move through and get closer to being ready to close, I want to challenge us also with a scripture in Matthew 7 from 15 to 27. Jesus says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from a thorn bush, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You know, in the natural realm, there are some fruits and some plants and some different things that look similar to other things. And you know, some of these things are good to eat. They're nutritious. They taste good, they're healthy, all those things. But some of those things that look almost the same are poisonous. So it's important in the natural realm to be able to know and to discern, because incorrect discernment can cause sickness or even death. And just as in nature the consequences of discerning the fruit can be life or death, so also in the spiritual realm, it's vital that we discern the fruit, whether it's good or bad, because the consequences can be spiritual death, or it can be life. In John 15, 5-8, Jesus also says this about fruit. He says, "Those who are in Him should bear fruit. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's thrown away like a branch and dries up. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So if we're in Christ, not only do we become conformed to his image, do we become more like him, but we're naturally going to bear fruit through him and from him. And that's our commission. We bear fruit both within the community that we're in and beyond, outside. Jesus says that it's in the bearing of fruit that we prove that we're his disciples. So it's love for one another and bearing fruit that are the evidence of our discipleship. Those who are apart from Christ, who speak in opposition to what he says and does, cannot bear good fruit. A lie does not become truth. A lie does not become truth just because it sounds pleasing or because it's repeated or retold. Those who speak and align with what is false cannot bear good fruit because lies perpetuate lies. And in the same way, whatever foundation that something is built on or established on, by that same foundation, it needs to be maintained. So if authority is established through manipulation and intimidation and fear, that authority will have to be maintained through those same things. That's the authority that we see in much of the world today. And by contrast, God's authority is established in love and in righteousness. Psalm 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. We need to be able to discern the fruit of all those who are in authority, whether it's good or bad, whether it'll bring forth life or death. Galatians 5:19-24, familiar passage, says, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft. Before I go on, witchcraft is manipulation and intimidation for the purpose of domination. And if we understand witchcraft by that definition, we could say that witchcraft is very prevalent throughout our society and our culture today. It's in our media. It's in politics. It's in education. It's in the healthcare system. The deeds of the flesh continue. Hostility, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions. That's the tension even within the church. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who practice the deeds of the flesh, those who practice lawlessness, will not inherit the kingdom of God. They'll not be known as being in Christ. James 1:22 says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not just hearers who deceive themselves. So it's vital that we're able to discern not only the words of people, but also their actions and the fruit of their lives. The fruit of our own lives, the fruit of of everybody's life is more evident to other people than our words, than the things we say. It makes more of an impression on them. You know, and again, many who are in authority in the world and sadly even in the church know how to say things that are good and pleasing. But sometimes their actions don't necessarily line up with what they say. At best, those are hypocrites who have one set of rules for themselves and different for others. At worst, their fruit is deceptive and deadly. Previously, again, in Matthew 7, 1 and 2, Jesus said, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." It's important that we keep ourselves from judging others, that we learn not to judge other people because God alone is the judge. But we do need to be able to be fruit inspectors. We need to be able to discern the fruit that's evident in the lives of ourselves and other people. And that's the one of the benefits that we have as a community. We can encourage each other and build each other up in our communion with God and in our commission to go beyond and do what God's called us to do. So the two C's on the outside are linked together by community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, precious Holy Spirit, thank you that you cause all things to work together for our good as we have communion with you and walk in our commission. We are perfected like you and in you. Thank you that you've given us community, that we might encourage each other and build each other up, that we can discern together and be accountable to each other. Thank you, Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and precious Holy Spirit, for all you've done, all you've given us, and all that you want to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Souderton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeping.